What is up, everybody? Mikey CLT here from Bar Down Breakdown, letting you know that our 100th episode is going to be dropping exclusively on the Hockey Podcast Network on January 27th. We will be joined by special guest Derek from the amazing pop punk band State Champs. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on all our socials so you do not miss any of our amazing episodes. We are so pumped that we have made it to episode 100. And to thank you, we are running an Instagram contest where one lucky winner can win a Steez brand snapback hat. So head over to our Instagram and enter our contest. Also, if you are just hearing about Bar Down Breakdown, make sure you go and check out our 99 other episodes where we have had artists who have been nominated for Grammys, all the way down to artists who are unsigned, where we dive into the crossover between alternative music and hockey. So make sure you go and check out Bar Down Breakdown wherever you listen to podcasts, brought to you exclusively by the Hockey Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey, welcome to the Canes Train Podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Appreciate you joining me today on this Thursday. A bit of a weird Thursday with everything that's happening in the Hurricanes universe. But, you know, before we get too far into that, I want to say thanks to our sponsor, DraftKings. And if you don't know DraftKings, well, let me tell you a little bit about them and how you can win yourself some money, which is just a thing everyone should want to do. The return we've all been waiting for is finally here. Right? One of sports' most notorious icons is stepping in the octagon this Saturday. That's right, the octagon, as in UFC, as in two guys beating the living shit out of each other, which is fun to watch, and you can make it even more fun to watch with this right here. So DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a free shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings, I said it with an accent, is offering new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total. Millions of dollars, man. Millions of dollars in total with your first deposit. That's so much money. If you haven't tried it yet, Fantasy MMA is easy to play. Fantasy MMA? I mean, have you even heard of anyone else having that other than DraftKings? Such a great idea. You pick six fighters, you stay under the salary cap, you pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. Super simple, you know? I'm sure you already, if you pay attention at all to fighting, or even if you don't, you only have to pick six people. Just pick, you know, pick your favorites. You can win with it. No better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. So if you're like one of those people that's like, dude, I know this sport. People always try to talk about this sport. They don't know anything. I know what I'm talking about. Go do this. Win yourself millions and millions and millions. Not millions and millions, but millions of dollars, you know. Don't forget about the football playoffs, too. DraftKings has even more money up for grabs this weekend. So the football playoffs, you can do the same stuff on DraftKings. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. So it's not like some of these sites where they're like, you got to put $10,000 in before we let you take it out. No. Put your stuff in, take it out at your convenience. That's what DraftKings is all about. So download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars total prizes throughout the weekend. That's promo code THPN to get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Make sure you use that promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network. Minimum $5 deposit eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Thank you, DraftKings. Also, if you haven't seen it yet, go check out at HockeyPodNet. There's a jersey giveaway going on. It's like a little bracket tournament thing. And the way it works is every, you know, it's team against team. The first round is finished. The Hurricanes defeated the Dallas Stars, if you were interested in that. And right now we're up against the Chicago Blackhawks. And ladies and gentlemen, I think we're a touch behind. So I'm going to need you to go vote in that poll because we don't lose, you know. When it comes to the Hurricanes and social media, we just don't lose. You know this, all right? We don't lose social media challenges. Don't make this the first one, all right? I don't want to be a part of that. We win things when it comes to the fan base showing up. So go show up. You can go to my Twitter, at CanesTrainPod. You can look at my retweet. You know, I'll continue to retweet it, so just keep an eye out there. You can go to at HockeyPodNet. You'll see everything there as well. Basically, you just vote, you know. Hopefully, the team you want keeps advancing. Retweet those, obviously, so that, you know, more people who think like you will vote for the team you want. Let's get the Hurricanes to the finals. If they win, we get to give away a jersey to one of you amazing fans. So, you know, free jersey. All you got to do is retweet some stuff and vote. Just go do it. Easy money, right? All right. Let's get into, you know, let's start with the knowns. Let's start with that game that did happen against Nashville on Monday night. Hurricanes pick up the win 4-2. And really, you're stepping it up a little bit to better competition, right? Nashville has it a little more together than Detroit does. Again, not trying to throw shade at Detroit. It's just the reality of a team rebuilding versus a team that's, you know, trying to stay in a window of a playoff caliber team. Nashville's probably on the, you know, the downslope. They peaked pretty damn high and were perennial contenders for a bit. But now, you know, they still have a lot of those same pieces, still hanging on to being a really competitive team, maybe not quite as competitive, you know, at the top level as they were a few years ago, but still a good team. Like so many of these teams are in the league. That's part of the reason why I thought that the Central Division, you know, like it's not the East, right? It doesn't have all that going on, but it's to pretend like there's not tons of competition still. I mean, you forget that Nashville's still good, you know? You forget that Florida's kind of a hodgepodge team to me, which is why I think they struggle at times, but they have a lot of really good pieces. That's going to beat you at times. You forget that Dallas went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. You forget that, you know, what you don't forget is that Tampa Bay is unreal and will continue to be. People typically give them their props, you know, and then I feel like I'm missing someone for sure, but you've got Chicago and Detroit who are, you know, rebuilding. Chicago maybe doesn't want to admit that they're rebuilding, but they certainly are. Maybe not in a way that's beneficial for them, but still have tons of players on those teams who are competitive and are going to give any team in the league trouble. So Nashville's a good team, and I think it was a good measuring stick for the Hurricanes, a team that, you know, will compete for a playoff spot in the Predators. So it's a good team to kind of measure yourself against early, see what you got going. And this was a very entertaining game. I mean, from the jump, it was less of the... There was some feeling out. There was a little bit of back and forth, you know, cautious play and neutral zone carefulness, if you will, which is, you know, not always the most fun to watch. But this game had pace to it. The Hurricanes looked a little slow to me from what I'm used to against the Red Wings, and that could be a little bit of the Red Wings are just a really fast team. But this game against Nashville was up and down action. It wasn't always just like scoring chance after scoring chance, but it was always pretty fast paced. And I thought that it was really entertaining. I thought that the Hurricanes looked better than they did against Detroit. And there were times when, you know, it didn't look great. And then there were times when they turned it on. But all in all, I would say it was a pretty even game between both sides. I was watching the Nashville broadcast because for some reason in Savannah, Georgia, they give me the Nashville Predators broadcast instead of the Carolina Hurricanes broadcast when the Predators are playing, which makes a lot of sense because if you take out your maps and you look, Tennessee significantly closer than North Carolina. No, it's not. I'm on the east, you know, I'm at the beach, basically. I'm at the southeast corner of Georgia, and Nashville, Tennessee is not close. Not at all. I think it would be like a 12-hour drive, at least, to get there, and it's like four, not even four to North Carolina. I mean, it's 2.5 to North Carolina. It's four to Raleigh, so, you know, doesn't make sense. Anyway, I was watching that broadcast, and those guys seemed to think that the Predators had outplayed the Hurricanes. You know, I thought that the Predators outplayed the Hurricanes for portions of the game, but I thought that the Hurricanes also outplayed the Predators for pretty decent portions as well. All in all, I would chalk it up to maybe a net neutral, pretty evenly played game. Both teams had chances. The Predators kind of failed to capitalize on a lot of chances, which I think will, you know, obviously did hurt them in those games. But let's go look at the natural stat trick kind of analytics of that game against the Predators. Let's see here what we got for some Corsi. I'm trying to see if I'm correct about that. Yeah, pretty even. Corsi percentage, 53% for the Predators, 47% for the Hurricanes. So, you know, I mean, it's a very close number. It's 5 shot attempts different. And then you look at the expected goals, which is another thing I like to track. Not a lot of expected goals, which is kind of odd to me because there were some pretty good chances in that game. So, you know, it is what it is. 1.37 for the Predators, 1.17 for the Hurricanes. So, you know, maybe a slight edge to the Predators, but then you look at the high danger chances for us, and 64% of that went to the Hurricanes, 35%. Math doesn't add up, but it's because of rounding for the Predators. So, pretty even game, right? I want to real quick go through my 3 stars. I'm gonna do this for games from now on. I'm going to give you 3 stars. I'm going to give you 3 subpars, okay? That's three players for the Hurricanes that I think performed really well. I want to talk about positively, and we'll talk about 3 that, you know, maybe not in a negative light, but that I didn't think had their best games. And this could mean a great player just having an average game, or it could be a, you know, not great player having a poor game, but, you know, you get it. You're smart enough to understand what I meant before I even explained that. My 3 stars for that game. And this is in no particular order. To me, they're all 3 number 1 stars in that game. Andrei Svechnikov continues to just do what Andrei Svechnikov does. He looks more and more confident every game. Obviously, there's only been 3, but stud. Kid is a stud, okay? He is insanely talented. He looks like he's ready to take his game to even farther, you know, higher levels, which I didn't even think was possible. Andrei Svechnikov, amazing snipe on the power play, and then a great play on the 2-on-1. Jake Gardner, you got to give him credit for starting the play. Great breakout pass, great defensive play that leads to it. Seems to be the theme we continue to talk about, good defense leading to good offense. And then Svechnikov with a fantastic pass to Sebastian Aho, who puts the puck in the net. Svech was the best player on the ice, I thought. And you could argue that between one of these other players. James Reimer. You got to give it to James Reimer, first game of the season. You know, he's always asked to just come in and do his thing without really a regular schedule. You know, he is treated more like the backup, even though he gets a lot of starts for a backup, as is, you know, how it works in today's day and age with the 1A, 1B systems. But he came in and he was just that calm, collected, steady presence that is James Reimer. That's what you need. You know, I love having that presence. I do like the, you know, I got a question way back when, a couple years ago now, when the Hurricanes traded for James Reimer, someone wanted to know about, you know, what can we expect from James this year? And my answer was, I think that the similarities between a guy like James Reimer and a guy like Curtis McElhinney are, you know, their style is similar. They're both that kind of steady presence in the net. They're not going to wow you left and right, but they're going to be steady and, you know, they're going to be calm. They're going to play it closer to the vest, if you will. But I think that James Reimer's better than McElhinney. So honestly, I thought that our goaltending improved as long as he was able to kind of turn it around. And you see what happens. You know, you judge James Reimer off of his performance in Florida, and then everybody thinks that Sergei Bobrovsky's the best goalie in the world. Well, he goes to Florida and look what he's doing, and you're judging his performance. Maybe it's the team in front of him, you know? Maybe it's that team doesn't know how to play defense. Could be, right? I mean, every goalie that goes there seems to struggle. Is that a coincidence? Like, I don't know about that. That's why you can't see a goalie have a bad year or two after changing teams and be like, oh, he must be terrible now. No, not true. James Reimer was phenomenal. I don't know what else to say. He made all the saves he needed to, plus some. Kept the Hurricanes in the game when they needed him to. And it's just that calming presence that you need. A fast-paced game, you know, it could be really easy for the goalie to, you know, get a little out of it, do a little too much. That happens so often. I talk about goalies trying to do too much. James Reimer almost never tries to do too much. Sometimes when he plays the puck, he can make me a little nervous. But in general, he never tries to do too much. He just does what he needs to do, and he does it really well. And my third, in no particular order again, because you could probably put this guy number one in that game to me, was Vincent Trocheck. I think that Vincent Trocheck, you know, you could argue who was the best player on the ice. Maybe you could say Svechnikov. I would make the argument as well for Vincent Trocheck. I thought that he was phenomenal. One of the best games I've seen him play as a Hurricane. He was just everywhere. He let his skill shine. And he was able to capitalize. And again, it was kind of a, you know, a gimme, but his goal comes off of a neutral zone play, you know, forcing a turnover. So you love to see that. I think that he's really been committed to playing the Hurricane style. I haven't seen him. He's the guy that I wasn't ever as worried about because, with, you know, turning up the offense at some point, because he seems to always have been committed to playing the two-way game. You know, I haven't seen him stray away from a battle behind the net. I haven't seen him, you know, not take care of things in the neutral zone, making careless plays in the neutral zone, trying to force offense. I haven't seen him do that. So you just let a guy settle in and hope his confidence builds. And, you know, a couple early goals here in the season, confidence builds, and there you go. That's some key components for having a really, really good season. Talent plus getting used to a system plus early confidence. So you're confident in playing with your abilities. I mean, that's so much of any skill at anything. You want to keep your confidence up. So big for me. So those are the three guys I really like that game. And I think that the Hurricanes, there's no way they win that game without those three guys for sure. My subpars in that game, I give that one to Brady Shea. I didn't think Brady was terrible, but he, you know, you heard me last episode talk about Brady Shea is one of those guys where he's going to make a lot of mistakes and you're going to go, oh, what are you doing? But then, you know, he's got to make up for him, and he can because he's a great skater, you know. He can make great passes. He can make good plays in the offensive zone. He can help you break out of your zone just with his legs alone. And then he can also make some good defensive plays. He's physical, so you like to see that. This was not one of those games I thought Brady Shea ended up making up for his mistakes. You know, I didn't think he did enough to justify the turnovers and all that. So I didn't like his game as much. But hey, it's game three of the season. He's been fine for me. You know, I'm not sold on him being a lockdown top four defenseman, but I don't think that's who he is. You know, you can't ask a guy to be anything more than he is. I didn't think Dougie Hamilton's game was great, and as a matter of fact, his shot streak got snapped, man. 296 games, I think. He had registered a shot on goal going back to like 2015 or something. He didn't get a shot on goal in that game. Unfortunate. And that kind of goes to tell you that if Dougie Hamilton doesn't get a shot on goal at all, even a little bit, you know, it's probably not his best game, right? And I didn't think that he was phenomenal in the defensive end. He made a couple turnovers himself, so one that he wants to probably do a little better, but it's Dougie Hamilton. I'll hold my judgment on him because obviously he's a great player, right? My third subpar is Wes McCauley in that one. Because Wes, what were you calling in the beginning, man? All these ticky-tack nonsense. I think he just likes to hear himself talk sometimes. Wes can be great, but sometimes I'm just like, dude, what are you doing? He's the wild card of the referees to me. You really never know what you're going to get. There was like the first four penalties of that game were not penalties on both teams. Like at least it was even, I guess. He was consistently calling nonsense. You know, there was a few plays where I was just like, I don't know, man. Teravainen, obviously you hear in the press conference that he tweaked something. You know, he was on the bench for most of that game, and a lot of y'all jumped to the conclusion that Rod was benching my man because I don't know why. I didn't see him like make notable mistakes. Some people were like, yeah, he's sending a message to his top players. Like about what? He doesn't do anything wrong. So what you're saying is that if a guy has one bad period, you bench him, a top line player. If he has one bad period, you're like, not good enough. That's absurd. What kind of dictatorship nonsense is that? That's not how it works. I said from the start, I was like, pretty sure that's going to mean he's hurt. If that's what's happening, if he's staying on the bench that long, he was also still playing on the power play. And you heard Rod say in the press conference that Tavo said, you know, I think I could at least go out there for the power play because you don't have to really move much. So not going to speculate on what that could be. You know, if I am going to, and then I'll turn around and speculate immediately, I would say that if a guy's comfortable with, you know, hands plays like passes and stuff like that, but isn't able to really like move around a ton. Maybe a lower body thing. It could literally be anything though. So no sense in worrying about it. And hey, no sense in worrying about anybody being hurt for a while because the Hurricanes aren't playing. And that's the next thing you've all been waiting for me to get to, is that the Hurricanes COVID protocol list has grown to, I believe, 5 now. Several players on there. Don't even care to name them because what is this phenomenon where like, who has it? It's like, why do you need to know who, why can't you just be like, well, I hope they're all okay. This like, you know what I hate about the COVID stuff is when someone gets announced as having it, I'm not saying all, I'm not even saying most, but there are a lot of people who will immediately jump to like, well, so-and-so must have been being irresponsible. As if it's not an insanely contagious virus that you can just get from who knows where. It's spreading like crazy right now, you know. It's going to be really hard, you know. I haven't gotten it yet. Knock on all the wood in this room. And honestly, it surprises me. Not because I'm careless. I would say that obviously I'm not. But, you know, it's just you come in contact with people and a lot of people have had it. And it's just like, people are going to get it, you know? It doesn't mean it's your fault if you get it. Like, it's victim blaming. The person who got the virus is a victim, right? I mean, it's the same thing you could say about other social stuff. If you don't think victim blaming is a good thing to do, why do you do it for COVID people? So everybody that's like, who got it? Like, you don't need to know. It's for them. It's their private life, you know? Stay out of that part. You don't need to know everything about people's private lives that are athletes. Like, just because they're athletes does not mean that, oh, you get to see into their life. No, they're playing a game for you for your entertainment. Is that not good enough for you? You got to know everything about their life? I get it. It's interesting because, you know, you like the person. And maybe for a lot of people, it's just like, oh, I hope so-and-so's okay. Or I hope that my favorite player didn't get it or whatever. But just like, you know, it's private. Leave them alone about it. And stop asking reporters to tell you the names because that's just a shitty thing to ask someone to do. They're not going to do it. It's a low integrity thing to do. But anyway, COVID protocols have postponed the Hurricanes' next few games. It seems like the series against Florida got postponed. I believe January 30th will be the next game that they'll plan for against Dallas. So, sheesh. Not fun, but wish that I could say I didn't see this coming, but it seemed pretty impossible to go through a season without something like this happening at some point to a lot of different teams. It'll be interesting to see how the schedule's dealt with. I talked to Sean McIndoe before the season started, and, you know, we talked about what do? Do you leave, like, some space at the end for stuff? Because, you know, I mean, if the NHL really thought that there was that they would get through 56 games with, you know, super minimal schedule changes, like, no way. No freaking way. There's no way it's happening. And the fact that this kind of happened because the NHL wasn't rapid testing, like, I get it. Rapid tests aren't as accurate. But, like, damn, do both. Do both, right? Because Jordan Staal is playing in a game and then later finds out something. And I don't even know. And, again, I'm not speculating on shit. But let's take Jordan Staal's name out of the equation. Let's just say player A, you know, gets tested before the game. He was negative his last test, so he's assumed negative. He plays the game. He finds out after he played the game and he came into contact with all these people that he was positive. Now look what happened. What you should have done is player A should get rapid tested before every game. No, before the game. And then also get PCR tested, which is, you know, the one where they stick it into your fucking brain, your eyeball, through your nose. And, you know, it's a little more accurate. It just takes more time to get back results. So do both, but do rapid tests before every game, because maybe the rapid test comes back as a false negative and then you're in the same situation, but most likely it catches it and it comes back positive and you avoid that situation where, you know, you're just, now you've exposed more people and now you have to put more people on the protocol list. It's just like, you know, I mean, obviously everyone's health should come first, but even if you're a cold-hearted person who just is like, I want to play games, like, logistically, it's gonna hurt you. You're going to lose way more games that way by exposing more people. Because you can't just, someone tests positive, you can't be like, oh, well, play anyway. That's not going to happen. So it just doesn't really make sense why that you know, I'm hoping the NHL figures this whole thing out a little better and gets better as they go forward. I mean, and it's not like we've got to see multiple other sports do it, right? So, and someone was saying like, oh, with the baseball type schedule, you know, now they're, every team's get, like, that's worse. Like, what? It's better. You would prefer it to be, oh, they play a different team every two nights so that six teams can get exposed in a week instead of one. No, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Also, though, people got to calm down a little bit. You know, I saw someone say, oh, the Canes game against the Predators tonight has been postponed. COVID issues with the Hurricanes. And people were responding like, this league is going to kill people spreading this virus, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, let's take a step back here. Obviously, we shouldn't be spreading a virus if we can control it. But what do you think is... Let's lay out two options here. Option one is a controlled environment where it's relegated, you're limited, you know, it's enforceable protocols where you're A, getting tested every day, you're limited in who you're exposed to, and if you do test positive, you're forced to isolate and not be around other people. That's option one. Option two is you live your life, you try to be cautious. If you feel sick, you take a test. It takes time to come back. If it's positive, who knows? You don't know all the people you've been in contact with. Who knows how many other positives are out there that don't know it? On and on, okay? Which of those two options do you think is better? Because I think one is safer, right? And option one is the NHL season. Option two is your life. Hey, person listening to this who just, you know, not playing in a sports league, that's what you're doing. And I'm not saying, like, don't do it. I'm just saying, like, to pretend, like, these protocols aren't safer than just my life. Like, I would be safer in the NHL's protocols than I am in my own life's protocols. Like, I don't think that my life is so dangerous that I have to, you know, stay inside for the rest of my life. But, geez, let's not pretend like they're not doing anything to protect it. Like, that's just absurd. You're spreading the average day-to-day person is spreading the virus more than NHL players are, okay? And it's I'm not saying like, oh, shame on you. No, I'm just saying that's the scientific reality of it. Like if you're going to the grocery store, like you're going to come in more contact with guys that are getting tested every day and weeding out the people that are positive or were exposed to someone who's positive, right? And maybe they're not doing the best job at it right now. Okay, we can have that argument, but I would hope that they'll get better at it as time goes on. So we'll see, you know, all that sort of stuff. So not fun. That means we got a couple more episodes of no games to talk about. But I guess I've liked what I've seen from the Hurricanes so far in these games. I guess I didn't think the Detroit series was great as far as like what I expect from this team. But it's the first two games of the season. So what are you going to do? You know, I thought that the team looked better against Nashville for sure. Still, maybe not quite where they want to be in all areas. I thought the defense has made a lot of questionable decisions. You hope that that gets kind of mitigated. I think that Hayden Fleury's been a little rough in the last couple games. He had a great first game and then not so great next two games. This is what I'm saying. You know, don't put all that pressure on him of, oh, you're a top four defenseman. Live up to it. Like, I don't know what he is yet. I still don't. You know, I've seen him play well for, you know, even call it 40 games. It's not enough. It's not enough. Like, do it for a season. And then I'm willing to say, like, I think this guy's this. Right now, I just think he's a solid third pair guy. If you put him in a role more than that, he's going to make some mistakes. And hopefully he keeps continuing to grow and, you know, grows into a super solid defenseman. Right now, I just think he's a fine defenseman who, you know, has his good days, has his bad days. So I know that's probably upsetting a lot of you. There's a lot of girls out there that are really into Hayden Fleury. He's having a kid, by the way. I wonder if that's how much of a bummer that is to a lot of people listening, guys and girls alike. But anyway, that's the hockey stuff. You know, screw it. Let's get into the nonsense. Let's get into that, right? We got to do a little bit of this. Yikes.
This is Off the Rails. Yeah.
It's Off the Rails time. You know what else? I almost hit this drop by accident. This one right here.
Ooh, fish. Right on.
Which is meant for Sebastian Aho. I forgot I had that saved. I've had that saved for the longest time. I've also had this one saved. Finland! So I'll have to work those in more. I forgot those were on there. I just saw it. I almost clicked. I have a drop that says off the rails, and then right below it on the drum machine thing that I use, it says, ooh, fish. And I was like, ooh, fish, what is that? And I remembered, oh, that's what it is. Anyway, this off the rails is dedicated to CVS Pharmacy's automated phone system. I mean, good Lord. My wife had to call into it the other day. It's the most inefficient thing I've ever heard before. First of all, it's a robot. Can we make it talk faster? Just fucking speed it up, you know? This is the CVS thing when you call. It's like, hello. First, too slow of a hello. Hello. You would never say hello in your life. No person would ever answer the phone and go, hello. It took 10 seconds to say that hello. Hello. You might as well say that. That's what it should say. Hello. That's how fast we say hello. Got it? That's the standard now. Don't go slow. If you say it slower than that, I'm walking away. You took too much of my time. It goes, hello. Thank you for calling CVS Pharmacy. Blah, 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 blah. 15 minutes of things that don't matter. No one on the phone cares about the next 10 fucking minutes of words that come out of this automated voice's mouth. Also, the menus are fucking, there's 12 different things. Condense that, you know? It's like, press 1 to do this. Press 2 to talk to, you know, someone in finance. Press 3 to speak to a doctor about a foot allergy. You would never call CVS for finance things. And foot allergies, I don't even think are a thing. I think I made that up, okay? But those two things are probably on that menu. I don't know because I tapped out at 9, okay? It probably goes to 37. Press 3 9 times if you want to talk to this person. They have that many options. Also, about 4 minutes into the call, it goes, if this is a medical emergency, please hang up and dial 911. Which, a couple things there. One, too fucking slow. Too slow. The second thing, say it at the beginning. It's 3 minutes in. That person's dead, man. That person is dead. Someone who doesn't know what 911 is and they just see like, oh, a medical thing, let me call. Like, oh, I'm dying. I have 30 seconds before I pass out and I die. And it's like, hello. Welcome to CVS Pharmacy. Our hours of operation are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You are calling from 9-1. Dude, that person died already. They're like, I don't know what's going on. Why can't I just talk to a doctor? I'm bleeding out. And then it's like, if this is a medical emergency, please hang up and dial 911. Person's been dead for like 3 minutes now, because that's how long it took to get to that point. Say that first, you know? Doesn't make any sense. Also, if you're calling CVS Pharmacy for a medical emergency when you should have been calling 911, who are you? You definitely don't speak English, which is my next point, because it says two things with the language thing. It went, para español, marque cinco. That's how it said it. Para español, marque cinco. And I was like, no, it's fucking worse Spanish. You couldn't make the robot have a Spanish accent? It's not like a person recorded that, you know? It's a fucking speech-to-text thing. Put the Latino accent on that part, right? Para español, marque cinco. That's what it should say. And then it should go back to, hi, how can I help you today? Which the voice things are... You ever find yourself, like, someone walks in and you're on the phone, you're like, yes! Yes! For the love of God! Yes! I said yes! And the person's like, who are you talking to like that? And you're like, the fucking automated guy. Because it's like, you said this, right? And you're like, yes. I'm sorry. You said this, right? Please say yes or no. Yes. I'm sorry. And you go, oh my fucking God. Yes. And it's like, to disable voice commands and go to touch tone only, please press 1 for yes and 2. And then you go, and then your phone's out the window, right? If you're like me, there's no way you get to that. You get to 4 yeses and your phone's not out the window in a body of water across the fucking ecosystem, right? There's no way. Yeah, that's pretty rough. The other thing with the languages is it went, after it said, para español, marque cinco, which is just frustrating, right? It goes, for all other languages, press 9. Which, okay, 3 minutes in. Do you think, let's say you only speak Russian, and you listen to 3 minutes of a menu, none of which you don't know what any of the numbers, you have no idea what it's saying. It might as well be saying, and you go, oh, 9. No, right? You're never making it to that point. It says it in English for all other languages. Press 9. Well, if I understood that enough to press 9, then I fucking speak English. We might as well just stay here, right? For all other languages, press 9. What a dumb thing. Who didn't think, like, these are the things that I think, maybe companies need to hire me because I think about these things and I'm like, no, that's dumb. Don't have it say that. If you want to say that, then have it say it in like 4 different languages, you know? Don't have it say it in English. They're not going to understand. And you go, oh, yeah, I guess it does make sense. This is the problem with these big corporations. They don't have a me to be like, hey, this is dumb. Why didn't we think about this? They go, oh. They're just like, oh, make it. We don't care. We don't want to hire a person. Make a robot do it. Should we put a Spanish accent on it? We don't have time to hire a Spanish robot. Just marque cinco. You know? So CVS, what are we doing here? What are we doing with your automated thing? Go call... Call CVS right now, okay? And don't worry, if you don't feel like talking to a person, you won't, all right? You fucking won't for at least 5 minutes. And just listen to how long, specifically the minute clinic thing. Specifically that. Call that and you'll see what I'm saying. And you'll see, I'm not exaggerating about how long it takes it to say, if this is a medical emergency, please hang up and dial 911. Like, it's too long. That person died already. I mean, God forbid you gotta call 911 and you speak a different language. Specifically when it's not Spanish. Because maybe you understood marque cinco. But you're definitely not going to understand English if you're like, I only speak, you know, archaic Ukrainian. I don't know what 9. I don't know what 9 means. It's just so stupid. Why don't people think about these things? Why am I the only person that thinks about these things? Am I crazy? Or am I enlightened? Which one is it? Tweet me. Let me know. Crazy or enlightened. Or put it in an iTunes review. 5 stars, enlightened. 1 star, crazy. Or 5 stars, crazy. Or 1 star, enlightened. Or any combination of any of stars and words, you know? The point is, go to iTunes and leave a review and a rating. All right, I'm literally like, I'm running out. I just used up all my energy for the day with that. So I hope that you got something out of that, you know? And CVS, if you're listening with your robot ears, I hope that you take into account what I've said. Tighten it up, you know? Just tighten it up. Definitely make the hello faster, because anytime I hear hello, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm mad. I'm already mad. They think that's customer service. They're like, oh, good customer service is, you know, answering and directing you to the person. No, good customer service is someone who's not going to piss me off from the first word they say. If you say hello, I'm like, you don't respect my time. I'm out of here. I'm done. I hang up. You don't respect my time. I'm upset. Maybe that's not you. That's definitely me, though, okay? So, CVS, get your shit together. Hurricanes aren't playing until January 30th. Congratulations. Welcome to the end of this episode. Goodbye. Hope you all have a great day. Subscribe, follow at Canes Train Pod. Thank you to DraftKings again. Go sign up, promo code THPN. Definitely make sure you use the promo code when you sign up. Don't just go sign up. You're missing out. Support the show that way. Support the network. Appreciate you as always. Take it easy, my friends. We'll be back on Monday.